If only I had known. 1. One of the most well-regarded methods for teaching people with dyslexia to read is Orton-Gillingham. The Orton-Gillingham approach is a highly structured method. It explicitly teaches the connection between sounds and letters. This method breaks up reading into very small pieces. Students learn each small piece until they have mastered it. Then, the next small piece is added. Once that is mastered, the next small piece is added. Multiple senses are used to help give the student different ways to grasp the concept, and repetition is involved. I'll repeat that shortly. Also, the instruction is modified to each student. My daughter's first teacher taught her students early on that the letter G has two sounds. Well, she did that for most students. When my daughter was first starting out, that would have confused her too much, so she did not receive that instruction. You can read a more detailed description of Orton-Gillingham on the Bright Solutions for Dyslexia website. You can also see a really informative Facebook video by Susan Barton of Bright Solutions, where she discusses which reading interventions work and which don't. There are many companies that have developed OG programs. Although they have variations, their primary structures are similar. Some are scripted for use by homeschoolers or families that want to supplement their school system. Others are meant for certified professionals. I do want to point out that mastery will be different in each student. My daughter learned silent E more than a year ago. When she sounds out silent E, also known as VCE, vowel, consonant, E, words, she almost always makes the short vowel sound on her first pass. Then she sees the E and changes the initial vowel to a long sound. If her teacher had kept her at the silent E lesson until she got it right on the first try, she would not have progressed to where she is now. My daughter has good comprehension of what she reads, so this works for her. It probably would not work for every other student. It's all about adapting the instruction to each student. 2. The key to success is small steps, repetition, and a multisensory approach. And when I say small steps and repetition, I mean pull out your hair if you have to do alphabet sound flashcards another 100 times. 3. Repetition. Go back and read step 2 another 50 times. 4. Repetition. Go back and read step 2 another 50 times. 5. A positive attitude. My child works hard and has made great progress. I wish I had learned how to work that hard when I was a kid. We remind her frequently how hard she works and how much progress she has made. In less than a year, she went from being able to sound out some three-letter words to reading the Step 5 books I wrote for her. We also frequented the thrift store for rewards that could be earned by reading books and writing sentences. The rewards were given for effort. They were not withheld for incorrect results. 6. Specialists are expensive. They have bills to pay just like we do, and they've had extensive training and put in a lot of planning time we don't see. We are fortunate that we can pay for one, though I wish we could afford to see her more times each week. However, our monthly bill to her means we are not contributing to our retirement fund. Still, we are grateful for what we are able to do. 7. Not all school districts allow their teachers to recommend reading or learning disability specialists. If they do, then the school will have to pay for it. They don't want to budget for that. Many teens leave school not able to read because they did not have a teacher who knew how to teach them. I have a friend who teaches special education, and she ran into this roadblock at a district she previously taught in. 8. Not all teachers understand how to help children that learn differently from others. I have heard this complaint from parents as well as friends who are teachers. If teachers aren't knowledgeable on how to instruct folks with dyslexia, or if their classes are so big that they are prevented from giving individualized attention, it is impossible for them to provide the assistance these kids need. 9. Having watched two specialists teaching my daughter to read, I see I could do it without their help. Since I don't have their experience, we'd make slower progress, but she would still learn to read. I say this because I know so many people who are not as fortunate as we are. They simply cannot find a specialist or cannot afford to pay one. Our life is easier having a trained person helping us. But if we didn't have this option, I see that we could use an OG program to success. 10. If your child is struggling to read, you may find it helpful for them to have a complete psychoeducational evaluation. Schools are required to do these for free. However, I have heard from multiple people that the tests done by their local school district were not useful. They felt the school report prioritized the school budget over the child's needs. This is part of why we did not have an evaluation done by our school district. I've been told some of the evaluators in our district find ways to interpret the results so a specialist isn't required. I was also told others did great evaluations, but you're not allowed to choose who does your evaluation. This is not to say that this is true of all schools, but it is a common enough occurrence that you should be prepared for it. These evaluations can also be done privately by psychologists, psychiatrists, educational diagnosticians, educational specialists, and special education teachers. They must have been trained to do so. However, they can easily cost $2,000. If you have an evaluation done by one person and don't like it, you may need to wait a period of time to have it repeated so that the results are considered valid. Some families decide to spend that money on instruction time with a specialist instead of the evaluation. They feel that, in the long run, the specialist will individualize how they teach the child. This will be based on the child's response to the program they're doing. The teacher won't make very many decisions based on the results of the tests. So, if money is hard to come by, you may choose to work with a specialist who is willing to work without an evaluation. Some insurance companies will pay for a psychoeducational evaluation done by certain professionals, but not others. You will have to check with your insurance company about that. There is an inexpensive screening tool that schools can use with kindergarten and first grade students. It is quick and reliable. If your school does not use it, you may want to ask them to do so. Reading Rockets lists by what age 80% to 90% of children have mastered different pre-reading, phonological, and phonemic awareness skills. You can see their list here. If you find that list too hard to understand, you may want to use a phonemic awareness screening tool. I looked at several, but most are not written for parents. They can be easy to use, but they don't list by what age a child should be mastering a skill. As a parent, I found this screener the easiest to understand. It costs just a few dollars to download. Phonemic Awareness and Dyslexia Screening Tool. It can be used after the first 9 weeks of kindergarten. This particular screening tool also includes asking children to say the names of letters. If they haven't been taught the letter names, they would not, of course, get that portion of the assessment correct. I have been told that, since every child develops at their own pace, it may be perfectly normal for kids to master any of these skills later than other children. However, if your child is still not mastering skills 6 to 12 months after other kids have mastered them, you should probably contact a dyslexia or learning disabilities specialist. Angie Neal, MS, CCC, SLP, the developer of the tool, messaged me. These are average age ranges. That means it wouldn't be considered disordered unless they are significantly behind. I would consider 6 months behind as delayed and a year or more behind as disordered. I would not consider one skill as a single predictor, but I would be sure to support development of that skill through reading and wordplay frequently. 11. If your child is tested and found to have dyslexia, insist your school provide a specialist trained by an Orton-Gillingham program. You may find they won't, and your choices will be to hire a specialist or to teach your child yourself. Whatever path you choose, one of your first steps should be to educate yourself on Orton-Gillingham programs and find one that meets your needs. In hindsight, I wish I had known to do that years ago when I first wondered if my child had dyslexia. Although she started mind play when she was 6, I wondered if I could have done more when she was younger. On the other hand, if I had done that, I may have opted to not hire a specialist. I have found having highly skilled specialists very helpful. I am very confident about my ability to teach my children. However, in this area, my life is much easier and less emotionally draining, knowing I have an experienced person who can make this challenging path easier for us. 12. People with dyslexia can have self-confidence and self-esteem issues. Sadly, that message can come from teachers or other adults. In this video, an MIT professor recounts what she was told by many educators and just how wrong they were. Even if a child can get by without being told awful things by adults, they still see that other children their age are far more proficient at reading than they are. Our children are not exposed to the social situations children in school may encounter. Although we socialize with other homeschoolers multiple times per week, it is a different type of socialization than is encountered in school. There is a higher adult-to-child ratio, so bullying rarely happens or is stopped very quickly, and most of our activities are open-ended, play, park events, or hands-on field trips. The classes my kids take at our homeschool cooperative do not have testing or peer comparisons seen in schools, even in the academic classes. The co-op moms who teach the classes adapt what they do for the students with dyslexia. And yet, our daughter has expressed frustrations that she does not learn like other people. We talk about how everyone learns differently. We tell her she thinks in pictures, so she makes observations the rest of us don't. She once said she knew my husband went to work early one Saturday morning because his boots weren't by the aquarium stand. I would not have noticed that or made that connection. We also talk about famous people who do have dyslexia. We are adding books to our home library written by several of these writers with dyslexia. We recently watched Sister Act with Whoopi Goldberg and read some of the children's books she wrote. Tonight, we watched BFG. When I saw Steven Spielberg directed it, I told her he has dyslexia. We looked at a list of his movies, so I know what movies we'll be watching during the next few family movie nights. We tell her, yes, this is hard, but you'll figure it out. She is going to have to figure out her relationship with the way her brain is hardwired. I will do my best to help her accept this is the life she was given, how to make the best of it, and hopefully show her she can turn it to her advantage. I want to add that I think our daughter was relieved when we told her she has dyslexia. Suddenly, she realized she isn't stupid. She simply learns differently. Knowing she has dyslexia, we can focus on the strengths that come with this brain structure. You can read more about this at Yale Dyslexic Logic, Homeschooling with Dyslexia, and many more sites. 13. In the first edition of this booklet, I used the terms reading specialist and learning disabilities specialist interchangeably. I have since learned that reading specialists are seldom trained about dyslexia. Probably most of them do not understand what it is or that the best intervention is to use an Orton-Gillingham program. I must say I was shocked to learn that reading specialists don't know how to help students with dyslexia. I mentioned this to a friend who is a special education teacher with a master's degree. She is not a learning disabilities specialist. She said, I'm a certified reading specialist. I don't really know anything about dyslexia. It is a couple years since I wrote the first edition of this booklet. My daughter's reading has improved greatly. She is almost done reading the Step 9 books I write. We're playing various games with the Step 9 vowel digraph flashcards that can be downloaded from my website to help her memorize the sounds made by those vowel teams. She's pretty good at reading two-syllable words. Her teacher has also introduced open syllables, E-D, I-N-G, and the R-controlled words with A-R, E-R, I-R, O-R, U-R. I'm getting ready to start writing the Step 10 books, so she has more stories to practice her new skills. My daughter loves to look over my shoulder when I'm sending texts and is thrilled that she can read what I am writing. Naturally, I spend a lot of time wondering if I could have done more earlier. I'm sure I could have. However, she's making great progress. It's hard work for both of us, more for her than me, I'm sure. But she is reading. There are still a lot of rules for her to learn since English is such a complicated language. But she has shown that with the right type of help, she can overcome both her dyslexia and the silly rules of the English language.